Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Monday night edition of the Good Golly Miss Holly Show. Tonight, we welcome our dear friend and highly respected dream expert, Marin. If you have a dream you want to know the meaning of, please give us a call at 516-387-1921. All readings and interpretations are for entertainment purposes only. Please, no questions on legal, health, or pregnancy issues. Give us a call at 516-387-1921. Marin and Miss Holly are looking forward to speaking with you. Now, here is your sassy, southern and psychic host, Miss Holly.
Happy Monday, everybody. It's Miss Holly, and I have Marin with me. Say hello, Marin.
Hello. Hello. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. So Mondays are Dream Talk with Miss Holly and Marin. And this is the time if you have a dream that you need or want interpreted, this is a great time to give us a call. And we'll talk about your dreams with you. The number is 516-387-1921. That number again is 516-387-1921. And Marin and I were talking before the show started, and she has some stuff that she wants to share with everybody about lucid dreaming. Is that what you were talking about, Marin?
Yes, and you know, basically, I would encourage everyone to you know, write down your dreams. Now, you know, there are a lot of people that cannot remember their dreams, or they're in a dream and they want to be a little bit more aware, or a little bit more, not controlling the dream, but just more aware in the dream. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I heard a click.
Oh, no. I don't know what that was.
Okay.
I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. So, you know, one of the ways to get into a dream or remember your dream is the intention. You know, put the intention out there. So I would say, I would suggest during the day, you know, you become focused on something, because I know that I do spend the day sometimes just kind of walking around like a zombie and, you know, just kind of, whatever, do the dishes. But, you know, there are moments when we can take the time to notice the leaves in the trees, notice that bird sitting on the fence, notice, I'm looking at my hands, you know, notice the lines in your hands, and just be really focused and aware. And that would be, you know, during the day. That's kind of a waking meditation. And then before going to bed, putting out the intention, I would like to dream tonight. Or even, wow, I was thinking about a certain person, I wonder if that person would come in my dreams, or may I have a dream about this person or this situation. It may not be, you know, when you dream that night, it might not be that person. It might be a symbol of, or it might be a completely different topic. But still, you're putting out the intention of dreaming. And, you know, with practice, then the dream image becomes a little bit more clear. And then that's where we start to get the dream language, the connection with the dream self. And that's where the communication with the waking self can take place. So that's my advice.
Well, that's good advice. I'm always talking about intention. And putting intention in your dream life just makes total sense, because that your dream life does tend to spill over in how you act in your waking life as well. Sometimes it can affect your mood and things like that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of, I get a lot of people who are wanting to know about prayers, or some people want to know about spells and stuff like that. And I am not a spell person. So if anybody's out there listening and they want to know about spells, I'm not the person to ask, because I'm going to tell you, you don't need those. But anyway, now that I'm going to get off my soapbox and Miranda's sitting on in California rolling her eyes at me,
okay,
going, Holly, here we go.
No, I'm just sitting here in California. No, I'm not aware. I mean, I'm not practiced in spells either, but I do understand intention. You know, it's thanking the elements, thanking what is already there, and, you know, putting out an intention of, well, I'm very acquainted with the dream world, so I like putting out an intention for my dreams. Yeah.
Let me ask you a theoretical question, since it's just us on the air, and we can just get as weird and wonky as we want.
Okay.
Do you think that putting out that positive intention before going to bed affects whether or not you're going to have good dreams or nightmares?
Well, no, it has. when you're putting out a positive...
Are we going to disagree?
Well, you know, it's what I think... And again, this is the world according to me. What I think is, when you put an intention for a dream, and of course we would like to have a nice dream, but what the dream world or the dream self tends to do is give us the gut truth. So if I'm feeling wonderful about this particular situation, I'm not facing the fear. You know, the possible, like speaking in front of an audience. You know, I'm going to talk about this wonderful subject, and I'm really excited. And so, you know, give me a dream about celebrities coming, or, you know, just the cheers from the crowd. But really, my inner self, my dream self, is having high anxiety. What if I show up naked? What, you know, so I think the dream world really reveals the raw truth of the situation. I mentioned about the dream where this woman was being chased or, you know, pursued, and she was going to be brutally hurt by this dream image. And she finally became lucid enough to say, hey, why are you here? And that dream image said, you need me. I'm your fear. You know? So I think it really helped to understand the truth of the matter, the heart, the essence of the matter. And once we face that, maybe subsequent dreams are, you know, hey, I faced my fear, and now I get to go play. You know, now I get to go on that roller coaster and be happy and fun instead of terrified and I'm going to die, you know. So I think the dream self, the dream world, you know, is more honest.
Well, okay, if you're going to, you know, bring reality into it and make me
minor details. But I think that, you know, understanding that it's still a nightmare, but I think the truth of the matter is what sets us free. You know, revealing the gut, the heart of the matter, I think that's much more valuable than dreaming a dream of a dream, you know? So I don't know. I just think the experience is richer.
Yeah, scarier and richer.
Yeah.
It didn't always have to come together, you know. I mean, I don't know about you, Marin, but I have all the patience I need, and I don't need to learn anything else.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to have any more dreams that teach me about patience or how I need to stretch myself or how I need to be less judgmental or step into my power or any of those things. I just don't want them. But
well,
too bad. Is that what you're going to say?
Too bad. Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, if I can.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was starting to tell you about a dream that I had last week, and we got some callers in. And again, if you want to have your dream interpreted by Marin, tonight is a great night to do that. It's 516-387-1921. But I've had another dream that I have had for years, and it hasn't been around in a couple of years, and I have started to have it again. And so I thought I would ask you about it so you could tell me. Yes. Oh, she's chirping up, y'all. When she says sure like that, you can guarantee Marin's little dream antennas are setting up and she is all ready to go, especially where I'm concerned. Am I picking on you too much tonight, Marin?
I welcome it. Bring it on, baby. No,
Holly.
I just love dreams. I mean, that's what it's all about. So, yeah.
So, yeah. This dream is, it disturbs me. It really, really does. And it's about, I don't know where we are, but it's you and me and some of the friends that we've had over the years. We're all living in this town, and it is probably late autumn-ish because the leaves are still on the trees, but it's cold, which is my favorite time of year. And in this town, there is a little bit of everything. So you've got the Christians and the Buddhists and the Wiccans and the Catholics and the, you know, just everything, okay? And everybody, I hate to say it's an intentional community because that has such a bad rap, but it's something similar to that. Everybody, you know, everybody lives in their own homes and has their own money and that type of thing, but once a week we have a dinner where everybody goes to, and it's long, long tables, and everybody, so it's like a, you know, community potluck type thing, and we all join, you know, talk and that type of thing, and anything that is bothering the community or anything like that is brought up. So, I found myself, people always coming to me with their problems and people coming and asking me to fix this and fix that and that type of thing. And that really bothered me. That really bothered me.
Why?
So what do you think, Marin?
Well, I'm just wondering what bothers you about that? I mean, about people coming to you to fix a problem.
You know, considering that, you know, I get paid to do that, I don't know. This was like I had a leadership position in this community, and there were a lot of people, you know, looking to me for, you know, approval and stuff, and I was just not that. No.
It's a responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sloughing off responsibility then, right?
No, I just had a thought. What I'm wondering is, it's a responsibility that is taken very seriously and very diligently. That it's, you know, it can be overwhelming. And so sometimes the way we deal with things that are overwhelming is not to want it, even though we are in the position of that responsibility. It just reminds me of, you know, a skill that is so that the dreamer has, a skill that is, you know, that is definitely present, that's there, and understanding that responsibility. I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but
no, that's okay.
Yeah, it's overwhelming to the point where, okay, that's enough. I can't, you know, but you know, kind of, can we tone it down, sort of thing, because something like that. Now, the whole thing about being at a long table and being at a community potluck. Do you know where you're sitting at that table?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not sitting at the table.
No, I'm standing. They're 1, 2, 3, 4 long tables. And it's, you know, it's not a continuous long table. It's a bunch of like 6-foot tables put together. Okay, so I'm thinking, let's see. There are probably about 40 people at each table, 20 on each side. Okay. And I'm kind of standing. They have another table where all the food is up front. And I'm standing in front of that table.
Where the food
talking
is.
Talking with different people and fixing plates and that type of thing. So I'm not actually sitting with anybody.
Okay. So you're standing at the table with food, fixing plates.
Yeah.
Fixing. So the pun, I wonder.
Preparing.
Fixing.
Preparing plates.
Okay. Preparing. Fixing, you know, sometimes we look at what the first word, you know, what the first expression is in, you know, with food, providing nourishment. So sometimes in dreams, it is ourselves that would like the nourishment. It is ourselves that would like to have someone fix a plate for us. And I'm just wondering if that kind of resonates. The beautiful thing, though, also, it's in a town. It's not like it's in a massive city, crazy, chaotic place. It's in a town. It kind of friendly to me. kind mm-hmm. of a small town. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're together with friends that we know, and it's at the autumn time, which is also my favorite time of year. It's a time of harvest, of Thanksgiving, of food, and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the other wonderful thing about this dream is that it's a little bit of everything, a different belief system. And it's interesting that you would say this because I just attended a class this past weekend, and they were talking about various statements by Carl Jung. And mm-hmm. one of them is Jung's definition of the religious function is the art of learning new ways to see and to hear. So that is interesting that you would bring that up, because I typed this out and I posted it, at my mm-hmm. office, and so I now see that yes, everyone has a belief system. It's their way. It's the art of learning new ways to see and to hear. It's only when their ways are forced upon your ways, because we're mm-hmm. all learning our ways of seeing and hearing. And so that kind of softened the religious function for me. And ultimately you bring up a dream that you're in a town with people that have different belief systems, which is
mm-hmm.
Quite extraordinary. Yeah, so you know what? I just wonder, it would be nice to be fed, to be in a place at the table, to be given a plate of food, and let us sit down and join our sisters and our brothers and our brethren. And yet, right now, you're at the head, you're behind the food table, and you're handing it out. You're fixing a plate. So I don't know, does that kind of resonate?
yeah, you know, I mean, that's, yeah, it does. I don't mind fixing the plates and, you know, handing out the food and that type of thing. But, I've talked on several of the shows this past Wednesday and Friday shows. There are people on both of those shows who were getting a lot of people waking up. You and I have discussed this multiple times. And
yeah,
one of the things that I find, and I think people are getting waken, are being nudged or woken up by dreams. I think they're having prophetic dreams or dreams that are showing them what they can accomplish, or they're getting woken up through dreams.
Yeah.
And, you know, so having people like you who can interpret those things for them is highly, highly important, especially now.
Yeah, and you know,
go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Especially now, I agree with that, because we are, you know, if we're working from home, we're waking up later. You know, we're getting a little bit more sleep, perhaps. We're not being woken up by a crazy loud alarm clock. And so, you know, that last REM cycle, that last cycle of sleep, we wake up from the dream that is closest to the time that we wake up. Mm-hmm. And we remember them a little bit more. So, I think, I hate to say the good thing about this pandemic, I hate to say that anything is good about it, but it really made us look at ourselves in a non-consuming, you know, quarantining, looking at our personal situation, looking within ourselves. So I think that that has brought up the heart of the matter, the gut of, you know, what's going on with ourselves.
Absolutely. 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 I completely agree. It has made a lot of people, and a lot of people are really struggling, having a really horrible time. And Jeff and I were talking about this just the other day, and we have been rather blessed because I do my work from home, and his job transitioned almost effortlessly to working at home. And, you know, there are lots and lots of people who lost their jobs and have not been able to find jobs and things like that. So, you know, we are very, very blessed that that has happened for us, and we're very, very grateful for that. But I do think that it's making people kind of retake stock of what's important and look at themselves, you know, in a non-consumer point of view and realize that there is much more to them, much more to themselves.
Right. Right.
You know, and dreams are part of that. Don't you think?
Yes. I definitely do. And believe me, I just absolutely love this subject. And I am only one opinion. I am only one person. If I can wake people up or introduce people to the dream world, and, you know, if you have a little bit of curiosity and you tune in and you just think, wow, yeah, I have dreams and I wonder all about it. I am so thrilled and happy to get you excited about the dream world. And, you know, absolutely look at different perspectives, read different books, you know, attend whatever classes you can and get tons of perspectives, and then choose what resonates for you. I've talked about dream dictionaries and how dream dictionaries, you know, you kind of have to be careful because they're written from the author's perspective.
Point of view.
It's exactly. And so when I taught classes before all this hit, one of my talks would be on how to choose a dream dictionary. And because there are so many out there, and I always say beware of those dream dictionaries that say, if you had a dream about this, it's going to be this. You're going to do this. It's so specific, and you have to blah, blah. You don't have to do anything. That, you know, that is their opinion. So what I would do is look at dictionaries that have both views or various views, and so that you can choose the one that resonates. It's like, no, that waterfall doesn't feel like a tsunami to me. It feels like a free-flowing, gentle waterfall. And so what does that mean, you know? So again, I love the subject, and I love, you know, turning people on to talking about it.
Yeah, that is I love it too. I think it opens up people to a whole nother realm of existence, and it opens up people, it opens their minds to spirituality and to finding out, knowing themselves better, and, you know, exploring their gifts and things like that that they may not even realize that they have. But when you have these reoccurring dreams like this, you know, it's the universe saying, "Yoo-hoo, wake up."
Yes.
You know? So,
Knocking on that door.
Knocking on that door. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Marin, we do not have any takers tonight. So I am going to let you go home early because I know you have a lot to do. And I am going to do some more marketing for this so we can get some people on the phone next week. But I appreciate you being here. And Marin will be back next Monday. So get your dreams ready. And I will be here on Wednesday and Friday to do readings for y'all. And thanks so much. And we'll talk with y'all later. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.